Well, today, actually, because of the snow day, and some people know they've been here, we had to kind of flop things around. So if you look at the chart one on your handout there, we're actually covering verses 10 through 12 in chapter 1. But I actually covered 7 through 9 back 2 weeks ago. I let Randy teach his because that's what he had prepared for the snow day. So we're kind of jumping around there a little bit. And I think it works out okay. So based on that, I want to go back and kind of review. Before we start, can I have someone read verses 3 through 12 in chapter 1? Verses 3 through 12.
Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
Great. Thanks, Bob. Okay, so what I did on the second chart on the handout there, I kind of did a bullet summary of what we covered in. So Bob taught the first part, and then Randy taught the second part. So basically, some bullets about the highlights of those verses. This is praise to the Father for our spiritual blessing in Him, for our being chosen in Him, that we should be holy and blameless, for being predestinated to adoption as sons, for the kind intention of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, for the grace which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And actually, I kind of, Randy actually taught that last week. So that word beloved is, I think, particularly interesting. If you look, it's used of the Savior, and it's used of the believers. I think it's really kind of a cool thing. It shows so much about our identification. So let's look at the passage. This is kind of going back a little bit, but in Matthew chapter 3, so somebody read Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, which uses beloved, a very familiar verse. Matthew 3:17.
And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
So notice there, what's the Father's opinion, if you can call it that, the Father's view of his Son is that he is well pleased with him. And, it's been said that the Father, the Son always says, "I do everything that I see the Father doing." They're one. They're, one God in three persons, as best we can understand that, which is kind of a marvelous thing. But he's called the Beloved One. Now, just think about this. We're learning in Ephesians that we're in Him. So what's cool is, later on, we're going to see that we're the Beloved too. In 1 John, he says it 6 times, that we're Beloved. We're the Beloved. So it's just, so all the Father's love has been showered on His Son, and we're in Him. So where are we in relation to His love? All His love is showered on us. So it's just, Beloved is kind of a cool word. Just really, it's very uplifting, the fact that because we're in His Son, that we have all the blessings of the Father's love was on His Son, and we have that as well. So just pretty amazing things.
Yeah, the neat thing about that, Roger, to extend that, is he was pleased with him not because he was doing everything right, right?
Right.
He was pleased with him because of the identification he had with his Son, as we are with him.
And he's pleased with us, and we know that we fall short. But when we think that somehow affects that relationship, it doesn't. It doesn't affect that. And if we can keep our minds on that, that will help us to go through the ups and downs of our lives. We there are ups and downs, and but the Father continues to love me.
I think of that one illustration that Hal had when he told about the kids and his fellow kids in the neighborhood. And one of his favorite phrases to talk about how close they got was, me and Benny, we was like this.
Yeah. Well, Hal used to talk about our union with Christ. He used his finger, he turned his fingers like that. Actually, I think he actually glued his son's fingers together, one of his sons, just to demonstrate that you couldn't, you know, that was some earthly. It was very difficult to break that relationship. You know, anyway. One of the many wonderful things about a brother there. Okay. So now, the next section, starting in verse 7, talks about, you know, praise to the Son for our position in Him. So if you turn to the next page, which is the third chart, this is what we covered. I covered 2 weeks ago. Praise to the Son for our position in Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to His riches. I underline when the personal pronoun was there, whenever it was. He lavished the riches of His grace on us in all wisdom. He made known to us the mystery of His will. He purposed His kind intentions in Him. So now we're going to cover the next bullet, the praise of the Son for our position in Him, verses 10 through 12. And then Randy's going to finish up this section next week with 13 and 14. And I think Bob comes after that. So the verses we're going to talk about today are the part two of this on chart four, with a view to an administration. One note is that you'll notice that it's administration, which probably is rendered like in the King James dispensation. Administration probably is a better, if you look at the, we'll look at the word, probably a better word. The view to administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens, things on earth. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. Okay, so going on to chart five. So looking back to verse 9 to kind of get the context, He purposed the kind intention of Him, in Him, Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. So that idea with a view to is the idea with respect to. It kind of is indicating a direction. You know, God is focusing on His Son and the summing up of all things in Christ. That's the direction that our whole world is heading, right? God's whole plan for eternity is that things will be summed up in His Son. His Son will return, and all will give glory and praise to Him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So everything is heading that direction. And notice it says, it comes a little bit later charts, but it focuses on in the heavens and on earth. It's just not the earthly scene. It's everything. All of creation is going to be focused on His Son. That's going to be the focus of all His. God's put all His marbles in one basket, and that's in His Son. And rightly so. Okay, so administration, oikonomia, is made up of two words, house, the word house, and the word nomos, which is law. So it means management of a household or household affairs. So there's a couple of verses. Let's look at Luke chapter 12:42. Someone could read that. Luke 12:42.
And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?
Okay, thanks, Tom. So basically, 12:42, okay. So you notice that here it's rendered, so Tom, yours had, read the first part of yours again. I'm sorry, I should be listening better. But.
Yeah. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and just steward?
Okay, all right, that's fine. So actually, here the word steward is the same word as we have here. It's basically a manager of a household. He's the one that manages the household affairs, or it's the bigger plan for management, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time. So that's kind of the core of the word. We're going to see, actually, turn over to back to Ephesians. We're going to see this word come up down the road here. In verse 9 of Ephesians, and 3:9, but kind of a little bit different context. It says, if you go back to verse 8, it says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the..." Mine says the administration. So what? Some have dispensation probably. Is that what King James has for 9?
Yes.
Of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Probably a better rendering is administration, this household management of household affairs. So we're going to see that more and study that down the road here. So let's go on to the next part. Chart 6, it says suitable or belonging to the fullness of times. And that's kind of an interesting word. It's that of which a thing is full, an end of an appointed period. And I have a quote here. "Thus it speaks here of an administration by God of a certain period of human history designated as the fullness of times." And I really didn't search. It seems like I remember there's a... You know, I didn't do a real good search on fullness of times. And, you know, there are other... and it's actually used... The other place it's used that's significant is in Galatians 4:4. "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." So you can kind of see that kind of fits. You know, God had a time for His Son to come, and when the fullness of time came, according to His plan, His Son came. I mean, that was His fullness of time. So this is, in this case, it's a little bit different. The fullness of time seems to be all wrapped up in when Christ returns. And when that sets in motion the whole picture of His second coming, yeah.
I think one of the easiest things to focus on when you look at His second coming is that joy to the world stanza. "He rules the world with truth and grace. He makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love."
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful. It's going to, you know, things will be put right. All of things will be focused on Him and not on man and all his doings. So, any thoughts or comments about fullness of time and those sort of things? We'll just keep moving along here. Okay, so now, if you go to chart 7, we have the summing up of all things in Christ. It's basically the idea is, it's actually, with a little footnote I have there, it's actually... in the middle voice, which focuses on the subject, God's purpose to sum up all things in the heavens and on earth in Christ at the consummation extending beyond the limits of the church. And that, you know, the church age, you know, when Christ returns and we start the millennial kingdom, the whole plan of, you know, God's plan shifts to the millennial kingdom and, you know, its relation to Israel. So a lot of things change there. So this seems like that the summing up is coming up, you know, after the church age, after that is completed. Okay, so that actually ends verse 10. So with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. So now it's going to shift back to kind of, this was focused on Christ's return in a sense and His summing up of all things. Now it's going to shift back to some more truths about the believer, which is pretty cool. Okay, but actually the verse, at least in my translation, doesn't read the best, and we'll point that out in just a second here. It says, "Also," verse 11, chart 8, "also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." So that phrase, "also we have obtained an inheritance," actually, if you look at the literal, you know, word by word, you know, and I don't read Greek that well, but I can read Greek and English. So you can read the word for word Greek translation. It reads, "in whom also we were made an inheritance," which is really, you know, that's back to like we saw in earlier parts of Ephesians. You know, it's in whom or in Him. And just another wonderful statement about the possession that the believer has in Christ. In whom also we were made an inheritance. And this is another wonderful blessing. You know, if you're, you know, Vern's going over in his study, he's going over the riches of God's grace, which is kind of the 33 things that were compiled by Chafer and others. And this is one of those, that we were made an inheritance. And that's actually just one word. We were made an inheritance. It's just one word in the original language. And it actually comes from the idea to cast lots, or to choose by lot, or to assign a portion. And it's something that we didn't earn. It's in the passive voice. God, in His grace, has made us His inheritance. It's pretty cool. And it actually comes from this this passage in Deuteronomy, speaking about Israel. Actually, let's just turn. I was going to look at the other verses. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy for a second. So, you know, this is the Song of Moses. It kind of titles this chapter. And it, you know, starts in verse 7. It says, "Remember the days of old, consider the years of all generations. Ask your fathers, and he will inform you. Your elderly, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, he will separate the sons of man. He will set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is allotted as the allotment of his inheritance." So that kind of speaks to the fact that we as believers are made an inheritance. Okay. So I think, and then the rest of the verse kind of amplifies that. So if we go to the next chart, it says, having predestined according to his purpose. So this is going to tell us how this came about. This was God's plan. Having predestined is the idea to mark out boundaries or limits, to mark out beforehand. And could someone who has the King James read that verse, 4:28.
Let's see, I had it. I'm playing around.
It reads actually better in the King James than in the, I think.
What verse are you looking for?
Acts 4:28.
To the whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty simple. So it's, you know, it uses that idea to you know, God determined beforehand. He is God. He makes the rule. He determined beforehand. So that's, it kind of emphasizes the fact we've obtained an inheritance, and that's been planned beforehand to His purpose. And Weiss kind of says, being made an inheritance is explained by the words of being predestinated, such as destiny, according to the purposes of Him. And actually, this word is used, having predestined, is used in other verses which have listed there in chart 9. He also predestined us to become conformed to the image of His Son. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages for our, to the glory, to our glory. He predestined us to the adoption of sons, which we saw earlier.
So Roger, the interlinear Greek, it really relates to eternity. I mean, the foreordained is from eternity past. I mean, since eternity is no time place, I mean, it's for all time.
I know.
It's a decision made a long time ago.
I know. Well, you know, God makes all these decisions and doesn't ask us any questions. He doesn't ask us about, we have a, you know, do you want to do that? Let us vote. It's not a democracy. I'm happy to have him do that.
Well, the interesting thing, you're going to go there, I think, but being predestined according to the purpose of him, right? I mean, in other words, it's conditional. In other words, he's foreordained, but it's the purpose of him by which it's ordained, right?
I know. There's some interest, you know. There's some things that we have a hard time, you know. It's you know, man's will and God's choosing, right? So, which is always a constant.
You know, it's compared. I mean, it was used in talking about Israel in another passage, but it's the same way. Why God chose His special people? Why He chose Israel? Well, I mean, it's the same. You know, with us as a church, is a different group, but. Yeah,
he chose.
God's choosing.
What? And you look at Israel and you think, and he says it. They didn't have anything going for them. They weren't anything special. They weren't the best group on the block.
I think he said they were the least of all people.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you say, Ryan?
I thought he said you were the least of all people.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, they were started out as slaves in Egypt.
Right.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Very true. So then actually kind of go on here in the next chart, talking about, you know, a couple of quotes from Macaulay, which I thought were good. It says on chart 10, it says in verse 5, Ephesians 1:5, believers are said to be foreordained to the adoption of sons, so that there's another blessing that we have. And now they're said to be foreordained to be part of the Lord's lot, his inheritance. So all these wonderful blessings that the Lord has planned for his children. And it's just, you know, it's part of God's eternal purpose to gather a people for his name who would be his special possession. So we are his special possession. I mean, it's just, you know, and you don't feel very special many times, Tom.
Well, as we look further over, skipping into the future in Revelation, it looks like our special thing will be to praise him in the heavenlies of the new heavens, while the regenerated Jews who are also just as much a special people,
right,
be there on the earth and as you, on the new earth, of course.
Right.
And so it's not like anybody's beaten gypped out of anything.
No, I agree with you. And that's something that is kind of hard when you start looking at the final arrangement for eternity. He has Israel, which are earthly, they're on the earth, but they're still, and they have access to the heavenly city, and they're going back and forth. And we get to hang out in the heavenly city. Do we get better real estate than they did? I mean, we're all hanging out with the Lord. I don't think we're going to be too concerned.
But it may not be specific in Scripture, but the intent is that I'm sure that we would have occasional visitors from heaven to just give the praise to the glory of God for on a quickie vid tour, saying, hey, you really did some good things down here. And it would be the same in the reverse for us up there. So we would be able to sit to tell a few things, be able to praise more praise along with this on earth.
Yeah. Well, the cool deal is we get rewarded for what the Lord, what we allow the Lord to do through us, which we trust in him. I kind of view that as maybe we'll eternally remember that. And because he did it, and he did it through us, and so that's the stuff that we didn't allow him to do, that's going to be not in the radar scope.
I mean, back to Theology 101.
Right.
I mean, it's the believers that have been foreordained, right?
Right.
And then it says us. Well, that means the unbeliever has not been foreordained. So what does it take to be included? It means to believe, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that breaks down all this predestinated. You know, some are predestined.
No.
Everyone's offered.
No, everyone's offered.
The gift of free
salvation. No, and that's exactly right. If you extend that too far, you say, well, he's not predestining anyone to go to hell.
Exactly.
That's never his view. His view is that he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance.
But this is such an important tripping point for many people, right? And this predestination, foreordained stuff, right?
It is. I agree with you. You can get all wrapped up around the axle and just kind of, you know, go crazy over that, right? And then it comes down, it says, according to his purpose. And whenever you see according to, you know, that's... I think it's kata. I'm not sure. I forgot what the Greek word is exactly. But it's the idea... you'll see mostly it's rendered according to a norm or standard. So in this case, I think the standard, this norm or standard, is his purpose. It's according to, we surrender it according to the purpose of the one, but I was kind of rethinking that a little bit. It's according to the norm and standard, and the standard is, it's his purpose. The standard that he's doing it according to is what he purposed to do.
You know, the Greek, it's down through or down from, throughout,
right,
kind of. It relates to time or place. I mean,
right. Deep. Good. Okay. And then I put the word at the very bottom of chart 10, the word for purpose. Setting forth a purpose involves resolve, design. I had a couple of verses there. One's real familiar. Romans 8:28. You don't have to even turn there. Tom, you want to quote it for us?
And we know that God works all things to good for those who are His, and who are the called according to His purpose.
Good. Okay.
His purpose.
Right. His purpose. Okay, and then how about Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9?
Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Right?
All these things, you know, he's got his checklist. Okay, I got the inheritance check.
That verse says it all. It covers all of Ephesians, right? At least the first three chapters.
Well, and we get to go through and look at this wonderful list of things that He planned before we ever showed up on the scene. He planned this for our, you know, to bless us, basically, to bless us in Him. Okay. So now, okay, and then, of course, the verse keeps going. It talks, the very last part of the verse is, who works all things after the counsel of His will. You know, God doesn't counsel with anyone else. He doesn't go around and take a poll. He's not out there taking. I'll take a poll of the angels. I'll take a poll of all the believers, and you know, see what I come up with here. No, He counsels with Himself, which is pretty. The counsel of His will, working all things according to the counsel of His will. Working is this word. This is one of Verdon's favorite words, energeo, to be active, to operate. It's used of God in Ephesians, the one we just looked at. And then also it's used in Galatians twice, there in verse 8. Galatians, did someone read Galatians 2 and verse 8? It actually occurs there twice. And maybe we could read 7 and 8. I think it might be good to get the context.
But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles.
Okay. All right. Let's see. let me see.
Division of labor, but it's still effective.
Yeah, okay. Let me see here. Is that the right one, Roger? I messed up here. That's a good verse. No question about that. Is that somehow I think I messed up here. What did I do here? I'm looking for he effectually worketh. This is a phrase. Is a word I'm looking.
Effectually. It's an A. It's an A.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. For he who effectually worked in Peter, that's our word, energeo, in his apostleship to the circumcised, effectually worked, again, energeo, for me also to the Gentiles. So Paul's saying here that he worked in Peter, he effectively worked in Peter, and he effectively worked in me. So that's this word, purposed. I'm sorry, we're working, not purpose. It's working. And again, it's according to a norm or standard. And the standard is here, in the context, it's a counsel of His will. And counsel here is the idea that from root meaning is will, hence a counsel, piece of advice. And Macaulay says, this means what He decrees, He brings to pass. God is able to cause all things to work together to accomplish His purpose.
Yeah, Roger, good parallel verse here. Hebrews 6:17. It says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly in the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Confirmed it by an oath.
I mean, yeah. So that was Hebrews, what again?
Hebrews 6:17. It really, I think, kind of brings into
that
issue.
No, that's good. That's good.
His counsel.
Excellent.
The immutability of His counsel.
Yeah.
To the heirs of the promise, right? I mean, that's us.
Yep. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. All right. Okay, so now we go moving on to verse 12 and chart 12. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. So what we're, may I just kind of give you, let me look at it. So turn back to Ephesians in your Bibles for a second. I want to show you something that's going to come up. Randy's going to be covering it too. But and I didn't actually, I hadn't noticed this. And one of the things that many times you don't notice maybe. But we're going to see here, Ephesians. Okay, so the verse we're in now is verse 12. It says, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Then you go on to verse 13 in chapter 1 of Ephesians. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's really hard to see, but it says you also. So if you mark out first to hope, and then secondly, you also. So it's like there's two, he's talking here, it seems like, about two groups of people. So actually, I have the question. Of course, I answer it right below it. So if you don't read that, who are the first to hope in Christ? And I wouldn't, you know, if I looked at this without having studied a little bit, I probably would not say what, you know. And there might be some debate here. So who do you think, if you don't look at the answer, what I think is the answer, who are the first to hope in Christ?
Those who look forward to Him in the time of the Jews.
Right. The Jews were. Yeah, right. I mean, that's
to a Messiah.
Right. All the first believers were all Jewish. So they were the first to hope. And then he goes on in 13, he's going to say, you also after listening to the message of truth, the gospel. So we came later. The Gentiles came later. The Jews came first, and then the Gentiles.
And the wise men from the east.
That's good. Okay. All right. Good. So that's kind of cool. So this verse, we're kind of split in the middle here because I kind of chopped it up a bit. But so this verse talks about some about the first to hope. So Macaulay says, words first to hope refer to the truth that it was the Jews who were first to give the messianic hope. Given the messianic hope, with the Gentiles entering the picture later. And it says this would be to the praise of His glory, with a view of our being to the praise of His glory. So then I kind of got off on a tangent here. So the rest of my talk here is, what is God's glory? What I find sometimes is that and we do it right here. We're right on the money here. But I find sometimes you get kind of wrapped up in the fact of He is glorious. His being is glorious, right? I mean, the Mount of Transfiguration, every account we have of who God is, He is glorious. He comes in glory, you know, physical glory. I mean, it's light and power. You see glorious. But the word glory, and I'll read what Vine has to say, has a much broader meaning. And when we talk about it right here, but just kind of remind ourselves, it's doxa. Is used of the nature and acts of God in self-manifestation, what He essentially is and does, as exhibited in whatever way He reveals Himself. So it's His essential character. His glory is who He is and how He operates. So glory has this expanded meaning beyond just a physical aspect or a brightness or a blinding light into His holiness and His righteousness, how He acts and what He does. That's who He is. And so I put, and the last chart has just a collection of verses that I found that kind of speak to this point. It says, the whole earth is full of His glory. The redemption of God's possession to the praise of His glory. Who would grant to you according to the riches of His glory. He, Christ, is the radiance of His glory. To make you stand in the presence of His glory. So actually what I realized what I chose here, and in retrospect, I chose things that speak somewhat to the, some do and some don't. The riches of His glory could certainly include all the wonderful attributes that we have because of Him. And so it's more His character, you know. He says, you know, be ye holy as I am holy. So the God's character is one of holiness. So that, and that aspect of God is part of his glory. So anyway,
you know, it's kind of interesting. One of the nights we were, in fact, one of the pictures I sent was Mount Cook, which
is
an incredible
beautiful
place. But you get out in the wilderness of the South Island. We went out at 11 o'clock one night to look at the southern sky.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so, of course, you know, the explanation from the people who were leading, you know, the event was, you know, the Big Bang or whatever. You know, God's glory, looking at it, all the galaxies and the universe. I mean, just pondering how big God is, you know, and how inadequate or impotent the explanation from a world perspective is. And,
yeah.
I mean, but, you know, there's, again, you're reminded constantly that to the Gentiles, Christ is foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, just speaking of God's glory, I mean,
oh, no, that's right.
It's pretty impressive.
So you're able to, help me out. You're able to see some things that you, from that position on the earth, better than you can see, like here in the northern hemisphere. Is that like the Aurora Borealis, the southern equivalent of that, or?
Yes, I mean.
Okay, well,
of course, the constellations look good. The constellations all based on astrology. By the way, are outdated by 2 months apparently. So if you're a Cancer or a Capricorn or whatever you are, it's wrong based on the way the sky is possible. So there's people looking at the, you know, the
wrong
what
area,
we call that thing,
wrong region,
by the horoscope.
Yeah. I mean, or mistaken by 2 months. So you're really somebody else's personality. Anyway, it's all garbage. I mean, you look at the sky. But you know what it was, the truth of the earthly existence is that people in navigation used the stars to know.
Right, oh, absolutely.
I mean, and that purpose was clearly fulfilled by the Lord and his creation and mankind finding one place to get from another. So anyway, but it was kind of amazing. God, you just spoke God's glory. Forgive me, but I mean.
No, I think it's great. Well, thank you.
That's
great. That's really cool. Oh, that's neat.
We talk about the glory here. All the references you put are the glory, you know, manifests to us as believers.
Right, exactly.
But his glory extends far past that.
Yeah, but when it says the whole earth is full of his glory, and there's exactly what you saw in the very first verse. Yeah, I didn't put references in all of these either. I'm sorry. I should have.
We'll trust your references.
I don't know why. You said I tried to do that. I don't know why I didn't. I think, you know what it was? It's a, you know, it wraps around. It's not a neat chart.
So I'm going to have to pretend this is a TV production and try to make more words to fill in the exact amount of time.
Well, you'd be amazed. You know, putting words on a chart, Bob knows it. Putting words on a chart, if it wraps around, it moves that one over and this one that way, and it makes it messy. You don't, I mean, you like to be, you know, organized or peer organized. Okay, well, that's great. So we're down through verse 12, and so next week we're going to go and do 13 and 14, and then we're going to kind of shift the last part, the last two or three lessons will be on Paul's prayer, and then the very last one in chapter 1 is on the Christ's exalted position, which is pretty amazing. And we're including chapter reviews this time around, just because I wanted to make it last the whole year. but I think actually it would be good to kind of go back over. There's so many neat points in here, and so we're going to have chapter reviews, get a chance to kind of look back through what we have taught over the course. So it takes about 3 months to get. Almost 3 months to get through a chapter, at least this one. We have to go a little bit faster if we run out of time. So, all right. Any last questions or thoughts? We'll get the end. Oh, actually, I'm sorry.
I got a selfish prayer request.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
It's amazing how much you assume your spouse in terms of what she does. And let me tell you, steps are a major task right now.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, and I've returned now. You know, this new job description I have.
Oh, I know, Bob. My goodness.
It's an incredible amount of work to do. And, you know, 2 weeks off right after you take a new job and then coming back. It's so lift me up in terms of all kind of the day-to-day stress. You know, Margaret's maybe not going to be able to drive for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And so that really... precludes a lot of normal stuff, you know, that you right. take for granted. Praise the Lord that, you know, these are small trials for
right.
yours
right.
truly, but it does impact.
Oh, I know. Well, I can
existence. Yeah. So, for instance, tomorrow I've got to be there early, first day back after 2 weeks gone, and her appointment's not till 12:45. So she's effectively, we got to get her there. We got to get her up to my office, which is gonna probably bar anyway. Small stuff like that, but she's
right.
gonna
right.
sit there. And then the question is she gonna wait till I come home late in the day, or I mean, right. it's just small things, but it's
no, that's gonna be
life is impacted yes. right now.
Sure.
Me personally, in a major way, and I got. More travel. We're going next weekend to be with our oldest daughter, Kim, who's putting on an opera. You remember she's a director
right.
of voice performance at Jacksonville University. She's giving her own recital Friday night. Now, we'll travel. I mean, we just traveled, you know, throughout New Zealand and back to San Francisco here. I mean, we'll make it. But the issue
it's gonna be hard.
A lot of day-to-day simple things.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go to the grocery on the way, which is something I can easily do. But it's just, you know, I told Margaret, you know, before entry, when we get back, you know, other than Saturday, just getting unwound and getting organized, I'll be at church on Sunday. But you know, the rest of the day is impacted by things that I got to get done even before tomorrow. Anyway, so forgive me, but
I understand
the reality of how much I depend on her in
sure.
so many ways.
Sure.
And you know, Margaret's pretty independent, but this clearly has hampered her independence.
Well,
this is good for both of us. So, in your closing prayer,
sure.
As you think about this situation this week, again, small stuff.
No, it's well. It's small stuff, but it's big stuff too. I mean, you know, it's important. All right. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for our time today, Lord. Thank you for the marvelous truths in your word. Thank you for the marvelous things that we can learn about you. We pray for our brother Bob and Margaret, and just, Lord, that they can work out the situation with all the additional things that need to be done to get Margaret around and to get to her appointments and just the traveling back and forth. Pray you give them wisdom about using Uber or whatever it might be to help them, Lord, just that would make it easier. And we pray that you would have them look to you and trust you, and pray for your will to be accomplished through all this. In Christ's name.